the Morning Show.
Let's wake these people up.
Good morning.
Welcome along to WhatsApp Wednesday. Yes, it's WhatsApp Wednesday today. And I am joined in the studio by Amgen Ansetta, one of the career coaches at WhatsApp. Good morning, Amgen.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing? It's nice to have you back.
I'm fine. Thank you. Nice having me.
Now, if anybody listening doesn't know what WhatsApp is, of course, everybody must know by now, but explain in a few words what it is.
Sure. WhatsApp by numbers is the number one online recruitment website in Egypt. We have more than 9,000 jobs available now on the website from companies. Companies post vacancies all over Egypt and some countries as well on the website. We have more than 25,000 companies posting jobs over our job board.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's always busy. I know you guys as career coaches are always busy helping people and stuff.
That's true.
And it's nice that you can spare some time to come and talk to us each week about something to do with recruitment. And today is a very interesting question that you want to pose.
Yes.
And that is, could Professor Snape work with Deadpool?
Yes, Professor Snape from Harry Potter, of course.
Yeah.
And Deadpool from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
So that it's.
So explain what you mean. Why you want to ask that particular question?
Right. So Professor Snape is known to be calm, quiet. You know, speaking in a monotonic way a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he represents
Mr. Potter.
Exactly. Concentrate, Potter. Concentrate. Yeah. So he's a little bit. Yeah.
I didn't know we were having like some impressions coming.
I'm not. No. But so yeah, he's a little bit of an introvert. We can safely say that Professor Snape is an introvert.
Okay.
However, on the other hand, we have Deadpool. Always active, always positive, always energetic, you know, despite of all his stuff in his life. So we can call that also an extrovert. So the introvert, as we talked earlier, an introvert is someone who charges their energy alone. An extrovert is someone who charges their energy by communication with people. So the question is, can these...
So when you say charges their energy, you mean like how they perform best as an introvert or what?
No, I mean their inner energy. Like for an introvert, if he communicates a lot with people, they actually feel exhausted, you know, after a while. But for an extroverted person, that's how they charge their energy, actually.
Right.
They don't feel as exhausted.
So the more people around, the more alive they become.
The better for them at their job, yes. So anyway, if these two people work together, the way I imagine it is, if Professor Snape worked with Deadpool, he would find him careless. You know, if he didn't have, of course, I'm talking about if they don't have self-awareness about themselves or about each other. So if Professor Snape was put in a team or on the same team as Deadpool, he's going to find Deadpool to be a little bit careless, a little bit too funny for the job, not taking his job seriously and so on.
Right, okay.
But Deadpool, on the other hand, if Deadpool was working with Professor Snape, he would find him disinterested, demotivated, right? He would, he even may be scared to talk to him, you know, because he's too calm, too quiet, doesn't talk much.
I think we're all scared for most of those movies of
kinda,
Snape.
Kinda. So that's basically how usually extroverted and introverted perceive each other, unless, of course, if they don't have high self-awareness.
Okay.
You know?
So how does that work in a working context then?
Good question. Yes. So that affects work or team dynamics. You know, team dynamics is how a team works efficiently. Mm. So if the team members do not have high self-awareness, they wouldn't be able to know their own strengths and weaknesses when it comes to the personality. And there are a lot of theories in the team dynamics. One of them is called the model of Tuckman in team dynamics. And he says that every team, in order to be dynamic, they go through five steps. Forming, which is the forming of the team, and then storming, which where clashes start to arise in the beginning of forming a team.
Right.
And then norming, where these clashes are settled and everyone gets used to each other. And then performing, and this is where the team works best and achieve results and everything, and where the team is most dynamic. And then in the end, the last step, according to the model of Tuckman for team dynamics, is adjourning. And this is the end of when the team is deforming or someone is leaving, you know.
This is like the plot line through Avengers. It's like, you know, everyone gets together, there's two people having an argument, and then, okay.
It's a team, and it's a team dynamic, yeah.
Okay.
So you can apply that. So, as I said, personality plays a big part of self-awareness, as we said, in order to have a dynamic team, the team members should have high self-awareness.
Okay, what would you say that you are, Angit?
I am an introvert.
Introvert.
Honestly, yeah.
Okay, so in your environment, you would benefit from working alone or
I'd rather not communicate much with people, but there is, and that's a very important point, there is the power of context and there is the adaptation, you know. Yeah. As an introvert, I have to adapt when I have a team, you know. I'm not going to be alone and distant. I'm not Professor Snape at work, believe me.
but you wear the outfit and everything.
That's not allowed. No. But yeah, so I have to adapt. There is the power of context, as I told you before. You have to adapt. There is always room for adaptation or room for change, actually. So as I was saying, self-awareness, you need to have self-awareness, or team members need to have self-awareness. And one of the most important aspects of self-awareness is personality types, or knowing your own personality.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of assessments that can tell you about personalities, but that's what we're going to talk about next.
Okay. Well, we'll come back and we will talk about that next. Also, if you have any questions for Amjad this morning, we would love to hear from you. We've got some coming in already. SMS 1042 is the number, or you can tweet at 9FM. Get in touch. Yeah!
Mark and Sally with the best start to your day. The Morning Show. Woo! On 9FM.
Was the Wednesday, and I'm here with Amjad Al-Sa'a. That's right. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Not to be confused with Ahmed Al-Sa'a.
Many people say that I look like him. Yeah. Anyway.
Spitting image right here. Yeah. It's uncanny. And we are talking about Snape and Deadpool today. Or basically your working relationships and how they affect and personality traits and things like that. But first of all, a few questions, Amjad.
Sure.
This person says, good morning. I'm on my way to an interview which I applied for through WasTheF.
Yeah, congrats.
That's how
we roll.
It's an IT management position. Have you got any advice, Amjad?
Sure. The first advice is to calm down. Be yourself.
Chill.
Yeah, chill.
Yeah.
Don't be nervous, of course. I hope you have prepared before going. You know the questions. You anticipated that. You know whether it's a technical interview or a general interview. And most of all, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I hope it all goes well for you. Let us know. Another message here. Good morning, Mark. This is Mona. I am a social introvert.
Yes.
Social introvert type. And that's why most people mistakenly think I'm an extrovert and the torture begins. Can Amjad advise how I can preserve my energy, especially with many team discussions and conflicts?
That's a very good question, actually, and that's what I'm going to talk about now. So, firstly, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you should not put people in templates. You shouldn't expect introverts to be just calm, dark, like Professor Snape, as we said. And you shouldn't expect extrovert to always be positive and, you know, to be like Deadpool, as we also said.
Yeah.
So you're a social introvert. This is good. Just try to save your energy for the discussions only. Don't waste your energy. Thank God you know you are an introvert, so don't get into useless discussions and save them for positive or effective discussions. And that's actually a part of what we're going to talk about now. So as we said, self-awareness, one of the most important aspects of it is the personality. Knowing your personality raises the self-awareness, which affects the team dynamics positively.
How do you know what kind of personality you have?
There are a lot of assessments. Mm-hmm. One of them that I'm going to take examples from is the MBTI assessment, or Myers-Briggs. People can completely take it for free from a website called 16personalities.com.
Okay.
It's free and it gives you a good insight about who you are.
Okay. Okay, so tell us about those then. Tell us about the different personalities.
Sure. So personalities can can cause clashes at work, whether in deadlines or tasks. So, for example, if there is a deadline and you can have some sort of manager who freaks out before a deadline and pushes people to do their best and so on. Have you ever found anything like that?
I guess you can have. I have had that in previous jobs.
Right.
Not so here, before obviously. Of course.
Yeah.
Today, here is just a place of harmony and love and joy.
Of course. You told me you were bugged.
So. We are bugged.
Yeah.
People can hear us, I'm getting.
I don't know if you... away from being live. But so as I was saying, there are some sort of people who freak out before deadlines.
Yeah.
And other people who are just calm and relaxed and they don't feel any pressure. Now, if, for example, a person who freaks out, which we call the judging, by the way. So a judging manager who freaks out before deadline and likes to have things settled before deadline, way before deadline, works with a perceiving team member, which is someone who... doesn't have a problem with being close to deadline because he knows he's going to finish the work anyway. If they work together and they do not know that this is how their brains work, they're going to have fights or clashes.
Have a clash.
Yeah. A clash, exactly. The manager will see the other perceiving person as a careless person that does not have ownership or whatever. And the other perceiving will see the manager as being an old school manager who freaks out and doesn't have the experience to handle a deadline and so on.
What about somebody who waits until the deadline and freaks out?
That's not good.
That's not good, right?
That's not good.
Okay, yeah. That's me.
Right, so he shouldn't wait.
Yeah. I am the careless person, I think. Right. So you've got those two people. So how do you manage to learn that the other person, your personalities are going to clash, and to resolve that situation?
Right. So as we said, raising self-awareness by taking this personality assessment or any other personality assessment helps.
Right.
So we did that at our own team, actually. Mm-hmm. We had this personality assessment and it decreased, all the clashes decreased a lot. Mm-hmm. Let me give you another example. Some people like to focus on details.
Right.
You know, and we call these the sensing kind of people.
Irritating people.
I can't say that. And other people see the big picture.
Yeah, it's all about the big picture.
Exactly.
That's it.
So it depends on your position. It depends on the situation. Mm. If your manager, for example, is from the sensing type, the type that focuses on details, and he's giving you a task, and you're the other kind that focuses on the big picture, you may find that your manager instructions are micromanagement.
Yeah, I hate that. They really,
that's the thing.
It's really annoying.
That's the thing. It's not that he doesn't trust you. It's just that this is how he focuses. This is how he handles the reality around him, you know.
Yeah.
He sees details first, and you see the big picture first.
See, in this job, for instance, I worked at a place once, and there was one manager, and he wanted me to write out what I was going to say for the entire show, and then hand it in to him beforehand. And then he looks at it and sees it's okay, and then I have to go and deliver it.
Right.
See, that's not the way of...
Not to that extent.
No,
yeah,
for me,
yeah.
I like to just come in and have a chit-chat,
yes,
you know? And
exactly.
And sort of like planning is... You can do a little bit of planning.
Yes.
But not to plan everything so much, because that's where the spontaneity and the creativity in whatever work you do, that's where you get it, isn't it?
And that, exactly. And that if... Now let's back up a little bit in that story. If you had known that your manager has this personality type, and he had known that you have this personality type, at least you could have worked around it. You would have found a common ground, known, okay. So it's not that you don't trust me.
I wouldn't have had to have left that job.
You would have left it anyway. But you would have found a common ground that, so you focus on details. And, you like the big picture. Fine, so we can find a common ground in order to avoid clashes, and increase the team dynamic.
How many people actually work like this? How many people put these things into practice? Is this like something that people are doing now?
That's actually what I'm inviting people here, whether you're a manager, you're a team leader, or you're an HR manager who focuses on team dynamics and cares about that among the company. I'm inviting them to take the assessment for free. It's, as I said, on 16personalities.com. It's an MBTI assessment. And they will raise the self-awareness among their team members, and they're going to have a better understanding of themselves and of the people around them, which will reduce the clashes and it will increase the team dynamic. And that's what we, Was of Coaches, actually did among our team.
This is really interesting stuff. I'm loving this. If you have any questions for Amget this morning, then please do get in touch. Love to hear from you. SMS 1042, or you can tweet at 9FM or on Facebook.
Hit music and the most fun. Nile FM's Morning Show with Mark and Sally.
Nile FM.
This is Nile FM. It's the Morning Show with Mark. Sally's on holiday this week. But it is What's Up Wednesday. And with me this morning is Amgid. Good morning.
Good morning.
Career coach from What's Up. And we're talking about personalities at work and stuff. Nina gets in touch and says, what's the personality test website called again?
16personalities.com. It only takes 12 minutes.
12 minutes to do. 16personalities.com. We'll be straight on there after the show this morning. This is the time of year, I guess, the end of the year, when you might have some clashes on a review kind of situation.
Yeah. It's the time where you get your feedback, your end year review.
Your appraisal.
Your evaluation, your appraisal.
Yeah.
It has a lot of names. And believe it or not, this is hard for the manager as it is hard for the employee or for the team member. So let's say, for example, let's mention some examples. If your manager or once your manager comes to you and he gives you a feedback on some sort of work that you did and tells you, for example, I don't know, I don't feel it's the right approach to go, you know. Now, some people would completely get that and, oh, right, okay, so I'll work on it. And other people would be, okay, so what should I do? Like, you don't feel that it's the right thing, so give me steps, give me follows. This depends on the personality. So the manager who tells you, I don't feel that this is the right approach, this is the feeling type of manager, the feeling kind of manager. And you, if you were a thinking person, you should not be frustrated from that kind or consider it inconclusive, you know.
Right.
Instead, this is how you should know that this is how this manager...
It's very hard, though, when people give you those feelings. It's hard to know what to work on, isn't it? When people say, I just feel that you should, you know, this or that, the other. Sometimes you want those... details. You want, how can I get better? Yes. What can I do to improve?
Exactly. So if the manager raises his self-awareness and the team member raises his self-awareness, the manager would know, oh, so he's the feeling type, so he should avoid those kinds of words. Like, I don't feel that this is the right approach.
Right.
You know, and the other person shouldn't feel frustrated that his manager is the feeling type when he gives him the feedback and so on.
Right.
Another example that I have is that sometimes, or some managers, when they give feedback, they give you a direct unsugar-coated feedback.
Right.
This was garbage. We don't say garbage, but I mean, this was
wrong. I've had
this
worse said, to be really. honest. Yeah.
So, some managers tend to give unsugar-coated feedback.
Is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad or good. That's not the problem. The problem is, on the other hand, some people would take that and they would be offended by that.
Yeah.
It's not about being offensive, or it's not about being sugar-coated or unsugar-coated. Again, it's all about self-awareness. If the person on the receiving end of the feedback knows that his manager is the judging type, the introvert type, the type that does not like to talk a lot, he likes to get direct with people, or when he gets feedback, or when he gives feedback, he's going to understand, oh, okay, so this is just his way of delivering feedback. It's nothing personal against me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, well, the first time my first manager ever,
yes,
to do my first ever radio show, I was 17 years old.
Wow.
And I was like, almost 20 years ago now. Yeah. And I was like, I said to my manager, I said, do you have any do's and don'ts? Anything, you know, that I should be aware of? Any do's and don'ts?
Yes.
He said, do be good, don't be rubbish.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Clear and to the point, and I remember it though. Yes.
That's nice. Did you follow it?
I don't know. That first time, 20 years ago, probably not. Probably not that much. So when you're having these things, is there anything else that you can think about, or anything else for a manager or for the employee when you're in this kind of appraisal situation?
Sure. So I have actually a few tips here.
Okay.
So for the manager, let's start with him, because he's the bigger part of this process.
Yes.
The first thing when you give feedback is that you should be specific.
Right.
Don't give a wide feedback on the person himself. You're appraising the performance, you know, so you need to be specific and you need to be direct.
Yes.
You shouldn't say, well, it's just sort of, kind of, be direct. Address the point that needs changing from the employee that you're appraising, and just do it, you know. So that's the first point. Second point is that you should be timely. You shouldn't end until the end of the year. Of course, some companies, they give you direct feedback, weekly feedback, monthly, quarterly, it doesn't matter. But whenever a situation happens and there is a feedback that you need to address, that you need to give, you need to give it. Don't wait until the end of the year and tell him, okay, actually, Mark, 6 months ago there was a situation that happened and I'd like to give you feedback. Don't do that. He will forget, you'll forget, and then you're going to try to remember situations, you're going to get defensive and so on. It's not going to be good.
Okay.
So the third point here is applying something that's called the sandwich technique. Very famous, but I have to say it.
Okay.
So usually when managers, it's better when managers give feedback to start with something positive.
Yeah, give them a sandwich.
Exactly, give them a sandwich. So it was not an actual sandwich.
I was getting excited. I was going to suggest this to my manager.
You haven't had breakfast, have you?
No, I was very hungry this morning. Yeah. I'm good.
Right. So I heard you talking to Rob about that. Right? Anyway, so you start with something good, and then you give him the negative feedback that you want, and then you end with something also positive. That's why they call it a sandwich.
Okay.
It's very important. It keeps the person on the receiving end of the feedback motivated, you know.
And is there anything that the employee can do?
He actually can, but the last point with the giving, because it's very important for the manager.
Okay,
I'm sorry for
sorry.
That. So when you give feedback, you should show the person on the receiving end that this feedback aligns with the organization's mission and vision.
Okay.
You know, so for example, your performance on this point was not with the certain quality that this company adheres or this company follows, that this company wants to present to its clients. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This sort of feedback gives the other person or makes the other person feel that he's a part of a bigger thing than himself, you know.
Okay.
Now, for the person on the receiving end, the first thing, when you receive feedback, a negative feedback, the first thing is don't rush to react, because everyone knows that feedback stings a little bit.
Yeah.
So not once you hear the feedback, oh no, actually I did this because of 1, 2, 3. No, no, no. Just listen to it. I don't want to say sleep on it. Think and listen and evaluate the feedback, actually, and you can respond. Just at the beginning, of course, you must thank the person who's giving you the feedback.
Oh,
and
really? Then,
yeah.
Thank you. Should,
like, not that way.
Gritted teeth.
Not that
Thanks,
way.
Thanks, mate.
No. But I mean, you should listen, understand, and evaluate the feedback, and then react if you have any reaction to it.
Okay.
The second thing is that after, and this actually tends to happen, after the feedback, don't isolate yourself. Because some people, when they receive feedback, oh, okay, well, thank you, I'll think about it. And then for the whole day, you do not see them, or the manager does not see them. That makes things weird.
Right.
You don't want to be weird.
You don't want to be awkwardness.
Yeah, awkward, exactly. So, no, you should avoid that. So, all in all, the higher the self-awareness is, the better the team dynamic will be.
Okay.
And...
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
we've got the points there.
Exactly.
We're running out of time, so I just want to get this question,
if
that's okay.
Sure.
We have this question that come in. Amgid says, Amgid, what are your thoughts on changing jobs annually or yearly due to not being able to have either the right pay and environment or learning or valuable experience? What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Okay. So if you're changing your job yearly, this is because you did not find the best environment for you, which matches your career values, and we covered that earlier. I'd like actually to invite this person to check WASF blogs, blog.wasf.net. We have a blog that covers all the episodes that we did with you guys on 9FM. He's going to find an episode talking exactly about this point, but quickly. So he needs to know his career values in this stage of his career, whether it's to learn or whether it's to gain money. I don't know his career level, but he needs to specify that. And then he needs to work on getting the jobs that fulfill this career value.
Right. Well, that's good advice. But definitely, what's the blog post address again?
Blogs.wasf.net.
Okay. And if people just want some general advice or want to come and visit you at WASF, how do they do that?
Coaches.wasf.net.
Coaches.wasf.net. There we go. And WASF is WUZZUF.
That's correct.
Amgid, it's been great to have you on again.
Thank you.
I hope you come back and see us soon.
Yes.
We'll have another WASF Wednesday next week. Hope you've enjoyed today. I've enjoyed it so much. We're very late for the news.
More hit music right here, right now.
104.2 Nile FM.